was written for the movie Selma. Anybody see that movie? A few years back, 2015. The story of Martin Luther King Jr. and the town of Selma and his story and how he felt and he knew God had something to say about the justice and the problems and the things and the racism and the things that were going on that were just too much, the murders. And he literally stood the ground in that town and faced Washington as well with a decision that had to be made. And when Legend wrote that song for the movie, which had Cuba Gooding Jr. in there and also Oprah Winfrey, this was a song that went a little bit further than the movie for me. And when I saw the words to this song, and they're in your notes, actually, in your sermon notes, you flip it over, you'll notice that there are some key phrases in there that I know I need and you need right now, this week, as I stand here. I just want to cry glory. Someday this war will be won. Someday the things that we sit here and deal with on a regular basis that are ultimately spiritual warfare and an assault of the greatest you could imagine on the heart and the heart of God's people, one day we will cry glory. And Jesus will come down by white horse. This will be a victory. And we will see everything that we had no idea would work. We'll see how it will work and how it fits. We will come back and we will see how things come back together. Jesus will make those things right that are not right. One day. And I love that song. I love the words to that song. And maybe you're not into a certain sound there, or even the lyrics of that rap may be a little different for you, but the lyrics are on your paper nonetheless. And it was written in a sense that, please look up. Please look up. Please focus on what's really happening. And I'm telling myself that. Congregation, I'm telling myself that. There's a series and a portion of this song that also is right here in the scriptures we're looking at this morning, where literally a prophet is crying glory, and he takes a very troubled king who is actually in freak out mode. What am I going to do without you? You've been the key to all of my defense systems. You've been the key for my success as a king, and what do you mean you're going to die? I can't, this doesn't work. And just in the desperate need, these scriptures here, which we have a second take on this from just a few weeks ago, and I actually am not sure how long I'm going to stay on this, but I've got a little mini thing that's kicking off today. Jehoash, King of Israel. And these scriptures go from Old Testament to New Testament, back 2 Kings, Ephesians, Hebrews, and Romans. If Martin Luther King was still alive today, he'd be 91 this week. Birthday's on the 15th. And granted, not too many people focus, not too many people really take time to pause why our nation has this day celebrated and what it's all about. But this was a gentleman, like many, many others before his time, that heard a very strong calling, and he pointed in the direction and said, this is where we need to go, and our country is still trying to get there. Amen? Still trying to get there. But they made great steps and strides as a result of him giving up his life. And I want you to see some of the parallels this morning. Verse 10, starting out in 2 Kings of chapter 13. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, son of Jehoaz, became king of Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 16 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And here's the deal. He did not turn away from his sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. And then guess what happened? Israel committed those sins and continued in them, and he continued in them. Verse 12 is for the other events of the reign of Jehoash, all he did and his achievements, including his war against the Amaziah, king of Judah. All of this, they were not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel. Jehoash rested with his ancestors. Jeroboam succeeded him on the throne. Jehoash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Verse 14. Elisha is suffering from the illness from which he eventually died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and literally wept over him. My father, he cried. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha paid little to that comment and just said, go get a bow and some arrows, and he did so. Verse 16, take the bow in your hands, as he said to the king. When he had taken, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window. And he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory. The arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times. Then he stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Elisha died and was buried. And I have a few extra verses that may not be in your notes here. Just a couple here at the end of this series. Now, the Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Okay, here's verse 21, verse 22. This is just fascinating stuff. It's cool just to complete the thought. Once while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders. So they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb really quick. And when the body touched Elisha's bones, anybody read ahead in your phone or whatever? The man came to life and stood on his feet. This is just so cool. Hazael, king of Aram, oppressed Israel throughout the reign of Jehoaz. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Avalon Community Church, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Andrew, I want you to pay attention to this. Make sure that the congregation clearly hears you this morning, and here's what I'm trying to tell them. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. I've got riches for you. I have glory. Glory. Someday, glory. You see the parallels to the song? There are riches, there is an inheritance, there is something deep. Trust me. I know you're feeling it right now. And the oppressed are feeling more oppression. But you stay my people. I pray that your eyes and your heart will be enlightened. I've called you. There is hope there. Is there anybody with me this morning? Yeah. Hebrews 11. Let's dive in. Let's enter in. Let's dial in. All of those things. Faith in action. Some of you don't even need to look at it. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, the assurance about what we don't see. And man, would you love to see it right now? Oh, this is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3, by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command. God and God alone. So that what is seen was not made out of what was what? Visible. He is God. one day when the King returns, glory. Things that we don't see will be made right, and we will know why that was set in pace. And what is set in motion to that point is eternity for you and me. Romans 8, 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. How's that feel this morning? Father, thank you for your scripture. Thank you for more than just your scripture, but the fact that it is literally soothing to our souls. Is there anyone with me this morning? Amen. It is soothing to our souls and to the filter of those things, our minds, which are being told, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture tells us. We apply all of that truth where we may have bought an agreement from the enemy. Father, we break those agreements in the name of Jesus. We ask for your spirit to come alive through your word this morning. Apply this short few moments together in such a way that there is glory. I'll take it. I'll take all I can get this morning. And I ask also on behalf of these beautiful people of Avalon in front of me, as we look up on the mountain and we see and we run up the mountain one day. Father, the oppressor is not welcome here. And we ban any and all foul spirits, as we heard even in our worship time this morning. Fear has no business here. And it has to leave. And in the name of Jesus, you, Holy Spirit, are welcome to move freely through the building. Upstairs, downstairs, in the hearts and the minds of those that are seeking and those that may not be, but are here and they made it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work. Jesus, thank you for the hope within. God, thank you for being our Father and understanding, not just caring. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. His presence is here. He will have His way in this place. We ask for rain. We want to receive His rain. We want to receive His blessings. We want to sing the work of God, not just listen to the worship team. Sing with the worship team. We want to worship the work of God on the screen, in your hands, on the paper, in this building. For decades and decades, we are reminded, when we've asked God to be here, He shows. He is in this place. The enemy is not welcome, and He is gone. Take a deep breath, my friends. Release Him. My friends, release Him. Let Him move in your heart. Yell out a word of praise if you need to. Oh, thank you. Good. Yes, she needs to. It's hard because there's this lid and you got to take it off. We're ready to receive His word. Those scriptures are loaded. It's not my word. Little mini series here I'm doing called Make It Happen. There's really plenty of better words for it. I want to congratulate you guys for perfect attendance here in 2020. You're off to a great start. You're blessed on what you act, not just merely on what you hear. I say that to my soccer team a lot. Stop listening to me. Actually, do it, please. Right? Do it. Take a bow into your hands. When you walk out these double doors here, and some of you scoot out this one here, when you step on the sidewalk and the enemy's there, he's there, okay, because we booted him out of here, but he's out there, and the assault begins, and the matrix begins, what's in your hand? was this just a check in, feel good, check out, get back to normal? Or is this fuel up and just walk outside and take the enemy by storm? With the bow in your hands, open the east window. I want you to do this. I want you to shoot the arrow of victory over defeat. How about some anxiety? Anybody here had any this week at all? I'm just, okay, thanks. Yeah, me too. Great, not alone. Bitterness? Felt it. Could cut it with a knife. How about dysfunction? Have you felt like powerless? Have you dabbled in unbelief? All of that. Look at your sermon notes. What pressures are you facing right now? Andrew, I want you to answer this first. Don't give this to Katie to print out until you deal with this, and then you can give it to her. Andrew, what pressures are you facing right now? And over the last several days, how about the last several months? I want you to be honest, son. May the precision of our arrow land where we need it to land. In 2 Kings 13, there's an interaction between an old prophet and a fairly new king. Fearful. I don't know if he'd be able to sing, "Fear has to leave," right? He's like, "I'm covered in fear. What do I do?" Freaking out. He's got a whole other song that he's singing. He needs help. The king received this news. Elijah is leaving soon. And where he's previously made all this vision and all this help on the surface, the king makes a deathbed visit and asks, in so many words, "What am I going to do now?" I'm going to be flat honest with you. And that's wise, because I think it'll be helpful, okay? I'm going to admit this because I believe it would be helpful. I've asked that question many, many, many times. I've had to ask it this week. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? The king continues the patterns of his fathers without knowledge of the consequences that were produced by his terrible decisions. The king is stuck in a bad pattern. The one person providing for the last five decades is leaving him. Write this in. Desperation will direct you to seek guidance. It's in your notes there. I tell you what, I know I say this every single week, but there's this little app. I'm not even using app anymore, and I spoke to a friend about this last night, and the app works great, but it also builds a darn good little habit in your life. And if I don't literally have time to focus on my phone because of where I'm standing or where I'm sitting or maybe even what I just came from and heard because my fingers are numb and I can't even hit the button, can you pause without an app on your phone, my friends? Can you do that? Can you literally, with benevolent detachment, say, "I give you everyone and everything for union with you"? And I don't mean 1 minute, but as long as it takes until you flush it out and it's gone and your shoulders settle and your breathing returns. Guidance. Similar to what the king is doing in meeting with Elijah. Quote from Leonard Ravenhill. And this is a very powerful statement that I've latched onto in the last 3 weeks. The opportunity of a lifetime needs to be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. Leonard Ravenhill. Opportunities have an expiration date. Write that in. And the window is closing. It's interesting. Open the east window when we seek God for comfort. Be honest. That's where a lot of us are sitting this morning. I just need comfort. Please remove my conflict. God turns around. In most cases, he gives you a challenge, doesn't he? Y'all there? Anyone been challenged? Thank you. Anyone been challenged this morning? Yeah, it's not tea and cakes and hats and horns. It's a challenge. See through the lens of making most of your opportunity. The prophet did not do anything, by the way, that the king could not have done for himself. And this applies to us as well. Elisha told Joash to open a window, fire an arrow to illustrate his future triumph over the enemies of God. And here's the deal, and I love this, and when I wrote this in my journal, I actually wrote these three words over and over again. These few words meant a lot to me. He previewed the victory. Previewed the victory. He previewed the victory. Open the window, shoot the arrow. Are you with me? Then he died. I mean, it literally says he gave him this, and then he died. What victory do you need to see yourself overcoming this year in 2020? What victory do you need to see yourself overcoming? What do you have in your house? What's going on right now in your house? What are some things that you've faced? How about inventory? What do you have right now? Ask God, do I need to let go of this? Like hold things loosely? What should I let go of? What should I cling to? What should I pick up? And what should I let go of? Take the bow. Take the arrow. Get control of the situation. He's asking you this morning. And ask the questions, why are you weeping over me? Second Kings asked the question, why are you weeping over me? God has put the power into your hands. I mean, you read that, especially in the New Testament verses there. You have been given this power. The arrow is something Jehoash already has with him. Grab the bow. Grab the arrows. Not go down to the Mercado and see if you can negotiate this and pull one of these. He's got this in his grasp. Sometimes the key to our growth, literally, is something God has already equipped you with. Write that down. Victory begins within. He's just waiting for you to grab it. What are you working with this year? I'm going very slowly through these notes. I want you to process this sermon. I have had to do the same. What do you have on the ship that's good if you were in Apollo 13 right now? I need to know if we're going to make it home. I already know the bad stuff. What do I have that's worth working with right now? What are my strengths? My friends, what is your arrow? Will we ever find the window of opportunity by just staring at the wall of our weakness? And it's easy to do that. I've encouraged my soccer team to move past that too. Don't stare at our weaknesses. What do we do well? What can we build on that's good? And then, of course, we have to go there. There's excuses that we make. And what are the excuses that we make for ourselves? Action with aim. Action with aim will get you somewhere, but action without aim only leads to exhaustion. And that was my team. I had a hard time this past weekend. We were up against a team that, through a long story, if I had a half a day, I wouldn't be able to explain all of it to you, but a team that has literally found its way into our league that nobody has a clue how it ended up there. But there is a story behind it, and the coaches can't believe it. Last year, every single team in our league wanted to boycott, literally forfeit the game against this team that we had to play. And we sat back and literally watched this season unfold, starting Thanksgiving on, with one slaughter after another of teams that went to play this team. And we had two games back-to-back against this team. Road trip. An exciting road trip, right? Let's just go get ourselves spanked like everybody else in the league. Really hard to build energy into my kids. They know how to look on the scores online, and they know how to see things. We showed up at this absolute drop-dead gorgeous location, top of a vista, looking right at the top of Mount Baldy, covered in snow. I mean, it was beautiful. Even the moon that night. You seen the moon the last couple nights? You seen that? Just unreal. Just all over the valley. It was beautiful. And in the midst of that beauty was pain. And I don't mean just emotional pain. There was some physical pain, too. We're about to get hammered by these guys. And we just didn't want to. You know, we had that ability that we have in Avalon called heart, where you pull that out of nowhere. We had the ability to do that. And it was like over my dead body. But game one was just outstanding on their behalf when they just exploited everything and everything. You know, within 5-10 minutes, we had 3 or 4 goals in our net. We didn't know which end was up in our net. Not good, guys. Bad news. And by the halftime, it was like 11-0. I mean, it was almost like a football game. And what do you say to a team like that? They already feel the insult to injury. And the pain, the action without aim, that just led to exhaustion. They just wanted to forfeit the second half. It's like, what do we have here on the ship that's good? Who's feeling okay? Has anybody noticed the flu's gone around Avalon the last month or so? 3 of us? There's a lot of people in this congregation been feeling it. Yeah, and kids at school really sick. We've had to deal with all of that. Just a lot. And then a lot of our kids also made trips over the holidays. Some are still not back yet from Mexico. And I can make more excuses. And I can go on and on and on. But we did have some things on the ship that was good. So I did what every coach should do after you've been beaten that badly. And you have to leave and find a place to deal with it. We went to Chick-fil-A. Thank you. So as we were approaching Chick-fil-A, about to get off the bus, with my phone, I have a little app on there that helps me move people around. Just kind of, it's almost like a chess match app for coaches to move things and just see things. And you can hit a motion button, it moves people. Remember that old electronic football game that had the little magnetic guys that would move everywhere? Is that just me? You guys remember those things, right? They just buzz and all the magnetic guys would move. It's on an app, and we set this up, and we literally designed an arrow. And that arrow was all 11 of our players literally tucked into an arrow. And I was just thinking, man, this thing looks as defensive as ever, and we're going to shove it right up their field, and we're going to play this thing the best we can. We're not going to break this arrow. And you know what? Whenever we have an offensive attack, the arrow is going to move up and move over and move right and move left and move back. And to get the players to deal with that in Chick-fil-A didn't work. But they finished eating, and we started sending the information through. The next day, without ever looking at this, ever doing this on a field, ever practicing this, we walked out onto the field and gave up 15 minutes of our warm-up time and set it up. The other team was looking on the field the way it would look before players even stretched and says, here's what this thing looks like. I don't care about offense at all. Not today. We're just not going to let this stuff in our net. We cut it to less than half of what we had going in our net the day before, but these girls fought like warrior poets, my friends. And in this arrow, it was just reckless abandon. One kid after another just going after their man-to-man, fighting like I've never seen. Something came alive with a plan that they had never practiced before. You ever practiced the wrong plan? But then you get this new thing that happens. We now have the arrow. And if something goes wrong, it's the broken arrow. And then you get even worse, right? As a Mohican that's wounded or a tiger that's wounded. Coaching can be a lot of fun in the midst of some really painful moments. We're done with that team. Thank God. Thank God we're done with that team. Nevertheless, though, we learn something within ourselves. Through the pain, the suffering, and the crummy couple of losses, there was great victory, man. These girls came home celebrating like they won the World Cup because that was a victory for them. We haven't seen another team in our league match that closely with this team before. And still, we had 2 shots for the entire game on offense out of an arrow. And what is my point? You've already seen it. You've already heard it. There are things that God designs in your life that are equipping you, and they're right under your nose. What does your arrow look like? Let me ask this, and this may be painful because I have a lot of important people in this room, okay? Have you ever tried to do too much at once? Really? I don't mean just for a week or two, but for like 6 months, a year, about 2 years. You can't wash that gray all out of your hair once you've set that tone in your life. It is going to reign supreme, get into your bloodstream. It will take its toll on the way you feel and the way you live. What happened? Let me ask you, name one window that you may need to close this year. What would it be? Really quiet this morning, I'm glad. Process. If you do this, nothing is impossible in 2020. You close the windows that are not necessary. You close the ones that are causing you harm. They're pulling your soul and your soul does not have the capacity for the stuff happening in America right now. It doesn't even have the capacity for what's happening in the Middle East right now. It's at full capacity with what you're dealing with locally right now and in your families right now. Amen? It's at full capacity. And then you just add all the other stuff, man, all of a sudden it just, right, weighs you down. And it's hard. God says, grab this, fight here, and fight it like you already know the victory will happen. Close this window over here. That one's costing you. Open this one right here. And we fight from a position of victory, not for victory. A position of victory. Weeping over what can't will not do you any good. You can't make it happen that way. The title of our message. Get your bow, get your arrow, open the east window. Need to work on this the next couple of weeks, and we're looking at it. When we talk about windows, there's a little opening here that we're going to do. We're just going to start on this, but we need to discuss various power windows, okay? Not the old crank kind. But feel free to add this in your notes. I would love for you to, if you'd like. But the first power window that I'm looking at is precision. Precision. Putting something on target. Three very important lessons that will be coming. And we're breaking just kind of into it a little bit today. And I need that for my own heart. I'm not all there yet. My heart, I'm easing into this material. It's beautiful material. It's taking its advantage on me. It's a wonderful place for me to sit right now. What the king is doing literally here is symbolic of what we should be doing. God is a God of action. God is a God of instruction. Going to the gym is a lot better than talking about going to the gym. Are you with me this morning? All right? Working out, actually doing it, walking the horse trail versus talking about the horse trail. Number one, God wants us to view the victory. Keep your eyes on the arrow. Take advantage of this moment. Get your eyes off the enemy. Okay? It's wise to see what he's been up to, but right now, what can God do? Open your window in the direction of your arrow. The victory is behind me. The Goliaths are gone. I need you to recall the spiritual victories that maybe you've had. Literally, keep watching the same highlight film over and over again. I told my team that. I want you to think on the things that worked for us. Probably one of the smartest group of young ladies we've had in many, 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 I don't even know, here on the island. This is a well-educated group. They have quick, sharp minds. They respond well. They're very courteous. They're just not dirty. And I love the way that they play. Very cunning group of young ladies. And I'm blessed to see that. It's great. We've had to work hard to find it. And what's interesting here is when we give them something, they mull over it for a little bit. Then they do it. And they respond to it. Anytime God does something for you, take a screenshot. Dance. Okay? Last night, I did not feel like dancing. In fact, everything below the waist was killing me, man. I got, you know, the hurt cap, torn everything. It's that time of the year where I've been doing too much and the age is catching up with me. I don't know. Ibuprofen and I need to sever our ties, but right now we're close. And the Passion was on last week. For those of you who know that conference in Atlanta, 68,000 people under one roof. Carrie Joby was on the TV, and also others, and my wife put on some of my favorite singers from 116, Lecrae and Tadashi and Tripp and Andy Mineo, and as they came on, and we were listening to some of these songs that I hear all the day. I mean, I've been a youth pastor a long, long time. This music's kind of ingrained in me, and all of a sudden, they're singing in front of 68,000 people, and this dome in Atlanta opens up, and this wind rushes in while Carrie's singing a song, and you just hear people praising God, 68,000 people on the East Coast. And my spirit came alive, and I just got up, and I started dancing. In pain. It was weird. It looked kind of like John Wayne for a minute there, but I did what I could do. I couldn't sit anymore. Let's just say that. I couldn't sit anymore. That's my jam. Right? You ever finished dinner with your family and just got something going and, you know, it's just really fun? Okay, maybe that's just my family, but I'm just wondering. That's what it's saying here. Screenshot that moment. Why not take a minute and dance? The lessons in 2 Kings is this. See it before you see it. I want you to see it. Also, check out what Paul says. Pray that the eyes of your heart are open. Paul says, pray that the eyes of your heart. Hebrews 11. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. The assurance of what we don't see. Open your window. See the promises of God. The arrow is the sign of God's victory over your situation. Anybody in the house this morning? There's a lot of things challenging you. And the arrow literally is God's victory over your situation. See it. See it before God lets you see it. Don't misuse what's being taught here, my friends. I've been guilty of this. Just because people abuse the concept doesn't mean that we should miss the importance of this principle. Picture this day in the future where you see God's purposes. Close your eyes. Close them right now, Avalon Community Church. And I want you to see the victory before it happens, okay? See it before it happens. The Holy Spirit is coming. There are things that are happening here, and they are in God's order, where victory is in sight, and you see yourself as a loving spouse. How about a patient husband? How about a visionary parent? How about a content teenager? Regardless of the circumstances, you don't become selfish or bitter. If you see it, you can be it. See yourself accepted. See yourself loved and healed. There was this player named Lanier that played in my summer leagues back in Largo at the rec center. And I remember I went out to shut the lights off at the softball field and the pool. And I went all the way out to the basketball courts that were on the far end of the property. And that's just, you know, we never check membership out there. It's just drop in. People came from all different cities and they just go hard. And usually it's 5-on-5. But I heard a basketball in the dark. And I had no idea what I was listening to. But I was like, is there somebody out there? It's pitch black. And Lanier was out there shooting free throws in the dark. And he played in our leagues in the gym. So I went out there to I was like, what are you doing out here, man? He's like, well, Michael Jordan does it with his eyes closed. So I'm just trying to do it in the dark. And he's just joking around a little bit. We must stay there a half an hour before I realized I needed to be home. And this guy was just cranking out foul shots and trying to become, just working on, if I can hear this rhythm, if I can set this rhythm, I can set this tone, and I hear that swish, I know what's going to happen right here, I've got this. Then when the lights are on, the pressure's on, everybody's screaming at me, and we're down by two, and there's like 30 seconds left in this game, I know that's going to be no problem, because I did it when it was dark. I did it when I couldn't see. I did it with my eyes closed. I did it, and it was successful. The power of the preview is when you don't have the proof yet. That's what's beautiful here. I don't have any proof, but my faith tells me, don't stop. Keep working on this. Don't give up on my family. Don't give up on God. Number two is clarity. Best word I could find. There's conflict. You need some clarity. Anyone need clarity in their conflict right now? Yeah. Don't try to fight all the battles all the time. Can't win everywhere at once. That's why we talked about closing windows. You have to clarify the conflict. In other words, focus on the fight. If I just sit here and go, you know what, we need to fix our goalie. You know, Dave and I were talking, we need to fix our goalie. You know, we've got this inside left mid. She's really strong. I could do that with every single person. Instead, we just said, let's just make an arrow. Let's just make something where everyone's strengths build on the next guy. And they're close enough to where they can play closely together. Sounds like a church to me. Somebody's in pain. I'm close enough to where I can help them through their pain and get them back into it. When I'm in pain, somebody's got my back. Right? Anybody tracking with me? This arrow is just like God has set up his bride to be. You move and you stay. You get some offense. Great. Right now we're on the attack. We're being attacked. We stay together. Someone's not well. We pick them up. We don't kick them out of the arrow. We fix what we have right here. Most fun time to coach ever and the most tiring. You can't win everywhere at once. You have to clarify what your fight needs to look like. Let me ask you this. Could you name the top three areas where you would like to win this year in 2020? Can you do that? Would you share them? No, I'm not going to ask you to share them with your neighbor. Can you do it? Crank out the top three in your head. Then name the areas where you recognize where you won't win this year. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to let you know. This is taking too much energy. This is not right. Close the window. I got three right here in front of me. I think we can handle these three. Only open your window in the east. Make it happen. The power of precision equals the order of priority. Where do you want to win? This is important. There are many opportunities, or you'll be running up the score in a game you don't want to win. Ask yourself, which window? Where do I want to win? Many expectations, and I also got many conflicts, so ask yourself this. Where do I need to win, and where am I willing to lose? I can't do everything at once. You may have too many windows open. My friends, I'm good at that. I don't mean just juggling responsibilities. Talking about real live conflicts, real live things that some of which we spread ourselves so thin that we don't get anything done. We're no earthly good. We're just all over the place. Recall this valuable input from the IT department when you have too many windows open on your computer. Okay? You can't eat organic and stay on budget. You have to aim at something. That's an expensive way to live. Think like Babe Ruth. You have to take aim, and I loved how he did this. He called his shot. That's why he was so deadly. This is where it's going. And you can't please everybody. Anybody back me up on that? Oh, man, there's going to be somebody you're going to disappoint. So don't worry about that. This is the power of precision. Action without the aim just wastes your time. It just depletes your soul. You're exhausted. Focus on your fight. Otherwise, by February 2020, you'll be out of arrows. So in order to receive the promise, you've got to close some windows. Where are we aiming this year? What are you shooting at this year? Have you called your shot yet? See the arrow, clarify the conflict. Verse 18 says, after the king got his vision of victory. God's going to do something awesome for you. Nowhere to aim. When after the arrow was shot, he claimed his victory. Make a pre-decision. In fact, to make it simple, we'll just call it a precision. Make a precision. Can't wait until you're in the heat of battle to decide what you're going to do. You have to pre-decide before the struggle begins. What difficult situation do you anticipate tomorrow? Got any idea? Don't freak out, but what do you anticipate this month? How about this year? What precision do you need to make today where you're sitting? God did not stop, and you don't need to either. He didn't say stop. Your victory is complete. Strike the ground. Strike the ground. The prophet says take, open, strike. But the key point is don't stop. My friends, this is just not a pep rally this morning. This isn't just sitting here pumping you up. I'm literally asking you to do some work. Come into this with your agenda. Come into it with what you've written down in your heart. These are some big issues that I've got. I'm facing this, and even here in the month of January, or I've got to deal with this before spring. Or I'm thinking about this vision, I'm about to start something new, and as a result, I'm not quite sure if clarity is where I'm at right now. I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and I don't think of any one specific thing that's going to work for me. And this summer, I don't even want to go there. Maybe that's you. Strike the ground. Don't just dabble at it. Go hard. Make the decision to take it to the end. Make it happen. A precision. I will is victory, not I might. It's mediocrity. You have the emotional and mental issues to fight. Victory begins inside you. I wrote that down last night, and I just said, God, I know inside me there's already some answers here. But you know what? It's hour by hour. When you're faced with some serious trauma going on around you, it could be minute by minute. You got to take, you got to breathe, you got to stop, take a moment. See life through the perspective of God's promises. Set your sights on the promises of God. You're more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 8. John, come on up, and if you guys would stand. And just be in a spirit of prayer, I would love that. I would love that. Just rest your eyes. If you feel like standing, that's great, because I know that helps you breathe a little bit better, but that's up to you. Maybe it's more comfortable where you're at. Just rest your eyes for a minute. Now, we don't have a prophet that's about to die or anything going on right now. But you do seek some answers. All of us have that anxiety, like, what am I going to do now? What do I do now? I'm just being fair. Are you missing out on the opportunity? Are you merely staring at the wall? You lay in your room, you lay in your bed, you sit in the chair, and there you sit, and outside, it is absolutely gorgeous on Catalina right now. I haven't seen it this green for months. You don't got to go up into the hills if that's too difficult, but if you can, it sure is pretty up there. Open the window. What's keeping you from striking the ground? Or limiting the striking? I mean, three times, and he needed a lot more than that. Be open. Receive it. Have you opened the window yet? Are you staring at the boundaries of your limitations? Father, show us where to focus. Show me. Don't waste your effort and your arrows. I'd like for you to make a fist like you're holding an arrow this morning. Can you do that? Seize the opportunity that God has placed before you. You strike the ground, God's going to bring the victory. You seek the promises, there will be victory. You take the scriptures, and I just gave you some good ones. Man, it's loaded with scripture. You apply God's word to your life, there is victory there. Amen? Lord, we thank you today for the victory. You've already won it on our behalf. We ask that you help us make the most out of this opportunity of victory as we're easing into 2020. And I love Martin Luther King Day weekend. This is a man who stood up with a calling, and he took it all the way down. I mean, he took every single thing. And a lot of people have taken it in the wrong direction. He was taking this in the right direction. And Father, he made a stance, and his legacy is living on, just as we've seen so many others that have done it right and done it well, even in Scripture. Done it right, done it well. And then we've seen those other kings. We've seen the bad kings. The Old Testament's loaded with them. One-shot deals. They had no idea where their arrow's going. Someone didn't even get the window open in time. And you never hear from those kings again. Bad kings. Left God out of everything. as we move into 2020 and we're cruising in here in the beginning, Father, I pray for clarity on these people, precision on these people in this congregation, so that we can win where it's worth it. Help us to close the windows that are not necessary right now. This is not my battle right now. But this over here, I need to focus on. And Jesus, I ask you, help us make it happen. You give us the power. You give us the kingdom. You support us in our decisions. You give us the clarity. When we seek you, we will find. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. We love you.